Benvingudes, benvinguts a aquest nou debat d'educació. Ens acull novament el FAT i agraïm poder realitzar avui aquí aquest debat novament. Si bé és cert que hi ha moltes cares conegudes i que debats d'educació té un públic assidu, també és cert que hi ha persones que potser participeu per primera vegada del debat d'educació. Deixeu-me presentar aquesta iniciativa. Per tant, Debats d'Educació és una iniciativa de la Universitat Oberta de Catalunya, conjuntament amb la Fundació Jaume Bofill, que de fet el que pretén, doncs ho diu el seu nom, és promoure el debat sobre temes d'actualitat i temes de fons que ens semblen reptes en l'àmbit de tot el que fa referència a l'acció educativa i a l'educació en general. És un fòrum de debat que no és, per tant, exclusiu de professionals o d'institucions, organitzacions que treballen en l'àmbit de l'educació, sinó que volem que sigui un fòrum obert a la ciutadania en general i a tots aquells que pugueu tenir interès per temes relacionats amb el món de l'educació, entenent això, no? Que l'educació és responsabilitat de tots i que la corresponsabilitat educativa doncs, és una dimensió fonamental de l'abordatge que volem fer, no? De l'educació. Els assistents, per tant, sou i veniu de realitats molt diverses, tot i que convidem també de manera especial doncs, a organitzacions, institucions o persones que podeu estar relacionades amb el tema del debat en exclusiu o amb temes relacionats amb l'educació i l'acció educativa. Avui el tema del debat d'educació creiem que respon doncs, a això que dèiem, no? A un repte, a un tema d'actualitat, no només perquè és cert que la LEC, la Llei d'Educació, doncs, ens planteja nous reptes referents al lideratge en l'àmbit educatiu, sinó també per la quotidianitat del tema, no? Perquè doncs, molts dels que esteu aquí, en els llocs on sou, en centres o en organitzacions educatives, viviu dia a dia doncs, el repte i el plantejament que suposa doncs, liderar un projecte que es vol educatiu. Per tant, creiem que és un tema que respon a la voluntat de debats, de plantejar temes d'actualitat, i a més hi hem posat en el títol les organitzacions innovadores amb voluntat també de no només centrar-ho en el que és el centre educatiu i també parlar del lideratge des de la perspectiva innovadora, des de la perspectiva de canvi. Creiem que el lideratge educatiu pot ser promotor de canvi, un lideratge que l'entenem doncs, des de l'àmbit pedagògic, des de l'àmbit de l'organització, des de la dimensió social que té. Per tant, creiem respondre a la voluntat de debats de plantejar doncs, temes d'actualitat i que estan a l'ordre del dia. No? També és voluntat de debats d'educació convidar gent d'aquí, gent del país, però també poder convidar de tant en tant a persones de fora, com en aquest cas. No? Tenim el professor David Hopkins convidat com a ponent i creiem que respon també doncs, a la idea de debats d'educació, de triar persones que per la seva experiència, pel seu currículum, per la seva visió, ens pot aportar tema i ajudar a plantejar el tema amb la seva complexitat i ens pot aportar doncs, noves pistes, noves idees, noves línies d'actuació. Sense més, crec que és important que puguem presentar el professor David Hopkins i en Josep Maria Mominó de la Universitat Oberta ens farà una presentació.
Bé, bona tarda. Efectivament, Debats d'Educació és també una iniciativa dels Estudis de Psicologia i Ciències de l'Educació de la Universitat Oberta de Catalunya que en estreta col·laboració amb la Fundació Jaume Bofill arriba, com sabeu, a la quarta edició d'aquest curs després de les ponències de Daniel Penach, Zygmunt Bauman i Julio Carabaña, la darrera, que com sempre sabeu i aprofito sempre l'ocasió per recordar-vos que teniu tota aquesta informació, la trobareu disponible a la web dels debats d'educació, en què hi trobareu totes les ponències, fins i tot els enregistraments, i per tant doncs, tot aquest material es va acumulant en aquesta web a la qual us podreu subscriure si ho desitgeu i us donarà informació puntual sobre aquesta iniciativa. Avui, per donar una nova mirada a una de les qüestions crítiques que segurament ha de poder abordar el nostre sistema educatiu, com liderar institucions educatives que vulguin ser innovadores, comptem amb la presència, amb una presència destacada del professor David Hopkins, professor emèrit de l'Institut d'Educació de la Universitat de Londres, on sustenta la càtedra en lideratge internacional, professor visitant a diverses universitats del panorama internacional, Universitat Catòlica de Santiago, Universitat de Hong Kong i també a les universitats de Melbourne, Edimburg i del País de Gales. També ha estat degà de la Facultat d'Educació a la Universitat de Nottingham i tutor a l'Institut d'Educació de la Universitat de Cambridge. El professor Hopkins és consultor internacional en l'àmbit de les reformes dels sistemes educatius i ha estat assessor de la Secretaria d'Estat d'Educació del govern del seu país. Bé, no hi ha dubte, em sembla que la participació del nostre convidat en aquesta nova edició dels debats d'educació ens ofereix una magnífica oportunitat de poder identificar els reptes que s'associen en el context internacional a aquesta idea de lideratge que per nosaltres constitueix, sens dubte, un repte de present i de futur. Professor Hopkins, quan vostè vulgui.
This point, but it won't translate, I'm afraid. Thank you very much for those gracious words of introduction, and thank you for the opportunity to invite me again to your beautiful city and to talk with you about these important matters. I'm very, very flattered to be invited to contribute to this ongoing series of debates on education, and I think that the title that I have been given this evening to talk about the leadership in innovative education institutions is a really important one. And in trying to reflect upon this issue, I will draw a great deal on my own personal experiences. As Joseph says, I've had a range of roles in my career as education. I've been a school teacher, I've been a professor, a dean of education. I was responsible in the Blair government for the second phase of the reforms in England between 2002 and 2005. And I've also run local authorities like yours in Catalonia. So I've been fortunate enough to have had experience at a number of different levels in the education system. And what I try and do, and what I will try and do this evening, is talk from the perspective of the integration of policy, research, and practice, because I think that is a good place in which to actually try and gain insights into the challenges that we face. Also, the issues that I'm going to be talking about this evening reflect a lot of my recent work in the area of leadership. The OECD, the Paris-based economic international organization, has recently concluded a major research study on educational leadership in member countries, in OECD and non-member countries. And I was the consultant to that program in terms of the more innovative forms of leadership. I've also recently completed a major study on leadership in England. I should also say that some 10 years ago I was responsible for the establishing of the National College of School Leadership in England, and leadership has become an increasingly important aspect of our educational provision. And I want to try and share with you some of the challenges that we're facing in England, because I think they're relevant to some of the issues which you are currently debating. I then want to briefly talk about a research project that we have just concluded, which actually tries to draw a picture of what effective leadership looks like. And then finally, I want to conclude on what I think is the most exciting development in leadership internationally at the moment, where our school leaders, our directors, increasingly take responsibility, not just for their own school, but for other schools, where we begin to create a more lateral, a more horizontal approach to educational reform and educational innovation. So with your permission, that's what I will be talking about this evening. And I think it's also quite relevant, given your current debates about your new law, which are currently being discussed in your parliament. I understand that some of the implications of the new law, which is being debated in your parliament at the moment, is about giving increased autonomy to school directors. There are also implications for how you recruit and train school directors, how school directors become increasingly responsible for the achievement of their students, and so therefore their role in teaching and learning is very important. The advent of accountability, discussions on whether directors should be responsible for the hiring and the firing of teaching staff. All of those, I think, are issues which you are currently talking about. There's a great deal of debate about that, and I hope I will be able to at least discuss some of those issues from a broader context. So that's what I'd like to do, and I should also say that I have prepared the presentation. Sadly, it is in English. It is also quite detailed. I won't be talking to the slides, but I hope that you will be able to make the slides available as well as the paper that I have produced. So if colleagues want to study some of the information in more depth, you can do so. But in order to keep the flow of the argument going, I'll be just taking a couple of points from each slide, and I'll try and encapsulate those as crisply as I can for my colleagues who are doing the translation in the back. Now, it's very warm in England. It's very warm. It's much warmer here than it was in England yesterday. So if I can take my jacket off, thank you. I'll stop there. Okay. So first of all, I want to just say a few words about the international study that the OECD has just completed in terms of looking at leadership in schools globally. And on the screen there are the countries that have participated in the study, and also should add that there were a range of experts from a number of different countries and a number of major international organizations contributed to the development of their findings. I think for me, one of the really important outcomes of the OEC study was they confirmed what many of us have known for a long time, that school leadership is an extremely vital and important part of the educational system. If we really want to produce an educational system where our students perform at world-class levels, then one of the things we have to do is to ensure that the levels of the school, the levels of the classroom, the school, the local level, and the system level are all connected together. If you look at school systems which are very successful in terms of helping their students achieve to their potential, that is one of the characteristics. And it is the role of school leadership for actually that enables these levels to be linked together. So it seems to me, it seemed to the OECD, that the role of school leadership is absolutely vital in the sort of the pursuit of innovation, the pursuit of educational reform. But also the role of the school leader in OECD countries has changed quite dramatically over the last 10 or certainly 20 years. And there are three trends which seem to be very sort of relevant, and I think they're illustrative of your situation as well at the moment. There's an increasing trend to devolve autonomy down to the school level, which is something which is currently being debated in your parliament. And the implications of devolving responsibility to the school level means that there's an increasing number of roles that the school leader has to be responsible for. The second trend is that increasingly school leaders are held almost personally responsible for the achievement of their students. Debates about accountability, about national testing, holding principals, directors responsible for performance of their students, national systems of inspection are all becoming increasingly common. And so the responsibility of the school leader, the director, is really, really important. And quite interestingly, there is an increasing sort of dynamic here. On the one hand, school directors are given more autonomy at the local level, but increasingly the demands for accountability and the effective spending of resource are coming from the system level, from the national level. So this sort of tension is one that I think is pervading the whole debate in many countries on school leadership. And the final trend is about new approaches to teaching and learning. I'll be using the word personalization and personalized learning a number of times in the presentation this evening. Because again, the trend that we're seeing in most school systems in the world is the responsibility of the school to be able to address the individual learning needs of students, to try and create the learning conditions where every young person can reach their potential and are able to apply knowledge. I gather in your press this week, there is interest in the PISA examinations, the PISA tests that your students are taking in Catalonia at the moment. And one of the interesting characteristics of PISA is it is not about how much knowledge the child has, it's about how well the student applies that knowledge to real-life situations. And that's a different situation from the notion of the traditional school, where I will try a little joke if I can. I'm just trying to prepare the translator for this, where the teacher comes in and says, it's my job to teach. This is the teacher talking to the students. It is my job to teach. It is your job to learn. And if you finish before me, please let me know. No, the jokes don't work, do they? What a shame. But I'm trying to make the point here that in traditional schooling, the teacher just talked, right? The student's job was to learn. Now the responsibility is to ensure the student is not only learning, but can also apply that knowledge as well. Now, this analysis of leadership in OECD countries has come up with a number of challenges or policy challenges that the OECD identified. And I'll go very quickly on these because I've sort of covered them already implicitly. The first is the first challenge for leadership in contemporary schooling is the role expansion and the intensification of tasks that the school leader has to take on. The second is that in many countries there is insufficient preparation and training for school principals. Just because you've been a good teacher does not necessarily mean you're going to be a good school director. The third challenge in OECD countries in terms of innovative leadership is increasing shortages in leadership personnel. There's a demographic bulge going through education almost globally, where people of my age, I was 60 earlier in the year, so it's a very acute issue for me, but people are increasingly retiring, and there's not enough colleagues coming through the system to replace those positions. And although I disagree with this myself, but a lot of colleagues feel that school leadership is there are unattractive working conditions. I think that's actually wrong. I think it's a great job actually, but in a lot of the surveys there are concerns about long working hours, poor work-life balance, and so on. So those are the challenges that the OECD identified in their work, and they then sort of concluded that countries and jurisdictions like your own should be developing policies which define school leadership more precisely, that to try to distribute leadership throughout the school. Let me just take a moment to try and explain that phrase. There's a common phrase in the leadership literature now called distributed leadership. This doesn't mean that the director, you know, just gives away the leadership, but actually shares the responsibility amongst a larger group of people inside the school. So this sees leadership as not being identified with an individual role, but is a function that is distributed throughout the school. And we'll come back to that theme as we go through the presentation today. The third challenge is developing the knowledge and skills of school leaders. And in England, in 1999, Prime Minister Blair decided to establish a national college for school leadership, which is one response to that. And I was privileged to actually house and host that college on my campus in Nottingham. Fourthly, how can we actually make leadership a more attractive profession? Those are the four policy challenges and four policy trends that the OECD identified. And I think, judging by some of the reaction I'm getting from you already, that you recognize those as being challenges in your own situation. And I understand that those are some of the challenges that your law, which is not uncontentious, I understand, is trying to address. But I do think it's even a little bit more complex than that. And so what I'd like to do is to try and sharpen this debate about the challenges facing innovative leadership by grounding them a little bit more deeply in the experience that we have in England. I'm doing this simply because I know the English situation better than I do yours. I think we've experimented with leadership a little bit more deeply than most countries. And I think as a consequence of that, we're finding out what the real challenges are. So I want to generalize a little bit about what I see to be the six key trends, the six key challenges that are confronting leaders, not just in England, but I think more globally. So I hope that will give a little bit more depth to the debate that we can have later. But just to try and give you a little bit more of the context in England, on this slide here are some of the challenges which our school leaders say that they are facing. And I will actually read out this slide because I think, again, it'll be interesting to see whether they resonate with your experience here in Catalonia. The sort of six key challenges for school leaders in England are to ensure consistently high standards of teaching and learning inside their schools. So when we inspect our schools, we look at the level of excellence and the consistency of practice amongst our teachers, because those are regarded as being a responsibility of the director. You know, how then the director balances the curriculum to give a broad experience to all children, but to differentiate according to individual need. How they manage behavior and attendance. How they manage resources and the broader school environment. How they build the school as a learning environment for their staff. And how they develop partnerships beyond the school to encourage parental support. Those are six of the key issues that our principals face. And in addition, there is a great deal of emphasis in England at the moment between trying to balance the attainment of students, how well they do in exams, and to build healthy, safe young people. In some of the international comparisons, We are told that English students are the unhappiest in the world. Again, I don't know whether that is true or not, but how do we actually try and give a greater breadth to the education of our young people? How we can manage the workforce in the school to actually employ a range of other adults besides teachers to help in the work of young people. How we deal with social justice and social diversity, which I know is an issue, Anna, for your foundation. And how we can actually ensure that all students progress, not just the ones who are from the more privileged parts of society. So that's the particular context that directors in England are facing. But from that, I'd like to draw out 6 key trends, and within them, some tensions, which I think apply not just to England, but I think apply to Catalonia and more generally as well. So the first one is to do with school improvement. Because I believe that, the example of PISA occurring now in your schools this week is a good example of that. That globally, principals, directors will continue to be responsible for the standards of achievement inside their schools. And the tension there, I think, is on the one hand, the accountability drive from the national government, right, holding schools to account. You know, schools will be also held to account on the international scene as well for how well they do on PISA, right? And there's a tension there between how you develop the school and internal forms of assessment inside the school and how schools can actually work together to improve standards. So it seems to me there's a top-down and bottom-up tension here in terms of school standards, which will increasingly define the role of the school leader in future years. The second trend, again, I've talked about this a little bit, is about succession planning, about recruitment to become school leaders. It's the responsibility of the school to be able to address the individual learning needs of students, to try and create the learning conditions where every young person can reach their potential and are able to apply knowledge. I gather in your press this week there is interest in the PISA examinations, the PISA tests that your students are taking in Catalonia at the moment. And one of the interesting characteristics of PISA is it is not about how much knowledge the child has, it's about how well the student applies that knowledge to real-life situations. And that's a different situation from the notion of the traditional school, where I will try a little joke if I can, I'm just trying to prepare the translator for this, where the teacher comes in and says, it's my job to teach, this is the teacher talking to the students, it is my job to teach, it is your job to learn, and if you finish before me, please let me know. No, the jokes don't work, do they? What a shame. But I'm trying to make the point here that in traditional schooling, the teacher just talked, right? The student's job was to learn. Now the responsibility is to ensure the student is not only learning, but can also apply that knowledge as well. Now, this analysis of leadership in OECD countries has come up with a number of challenges or policy challenges that the OECD identified. And I've sort of, I'll go very quickly on these because I've sort of covered them already implicitly. The first is, the first challenge for leadership in contemporary schooling is the role expansion and the intensification of tasks that the school leader has to take on. The second is that in many countries there is insufficient preparation and training for school principals. Just because you've been a good teacher does not necessarily mean you're going to be a good school director. The third challenge in OECD countries in terms of innovative leadership is increasing shortages in leadership personnel. There's a demographic bulge going through education almost globally, where people of my age, I was 60 earlier in the year, so it's a very acute issue for me, but people are increasingly retiring, and there's not enough colleagues coming through the system to replace those positions. And although I disagree with this myself, but a lot of colleagues feel that school leadership is there are unattractive working conditions. I think that's actually wrong. I think it's a great job actually, but in a lot of the surveys there are concerns about long working hours, poor work-life balance, and so on. So those are the challenges that the OECD identified in their work, and they then sort of concluded that countries and jurisdictions like your own should be developing policies which define school leadership more precisely, that to try to distribute leadership throughout the school. Let me just take a moment to try and explain that phrase. There's a common phrase in the leadership literature now called distributed leadership. This doesn't mean that the director, you know, just gives away the leadership, but actually shares the responsibility amongst a larger group of people inside the school. So this sees leadership as not being identified with an individual role, but is a function that is distributed throughout the school. And we'll come back to that theme as we go through the presentation today. The third challenge is developing the knowledge and skills of school leaders. And in England, in 1999, Prime Minister Blair decided to establish a National College for School Leadership, which is one response to that. And I was privileged to actually house and host that college on my campus in Nottingham. Fourthly, how can we actually make leadership a more attractive profession? Those are the four policy challenges and four policy trends that the OECD identified. And I think, judging by some of the reaction I'm getting from you already, that you recognize those as being challenges in your own situation. And I understand that those are some of the challenges that your law, which is not uncontentious, I understand, is trying to address. But I do think it's even a little bit more complex than that. And so what I'd like to do is to try and sharpen this debate about the challenges facing innovative leadership by grounding them a little bit more deeply in the experience that we have in England. I'm doing this simply because I know the English situation better than I do yours. I think we've experimented with leadership a little bit more deeply than most countries. And I think as a consequence of that, we're finding out what the real challenges are. So I want to generalize a little bit about what I see to be the six key trends, the six key challenges that are confronting leaders, not just in England, but I think more globally. So I hope that will give a little bit more depth to the debate that we can have later. But just to try and give you a little bit more of the context in England, on this slide here are some of the challenges which our school leaders say that they are facing. And I will actually read out this slide because I think, again, it'll be interesting to see whether they resonate with your experience here in Catalonia. The sort of six key challenges for school leaders in England are to ensure consistently high standards of teaching and learning inside their schools. So when we inspect our schools, we look at the level of excellence and the consistency of practice amongst our teachers, because those are regarded as being a responsibility of the director. You know, how then the director balances the curriculum to give a broad experience to all children, but to differentiate according to individual need. How they manage behavior and attendance. how they manage resources and the broader school environment, how they build the school as a learning environment for their staff, and how they develop partnerships beyond the school to encourage parental support. Those are six of the key issues that our principals face. And in addition, there is a great deal of emphasis in England at the moment between trying to balance the attainment of students, how well they do in exams, and to build healthy, safe young people. In some of the international comparisons, we are told that English students are the unhappiest in the world. Again, I don't know whether that is true or not, but how do we actually try and give a greater breadth to the education of our young people? How we can manage the workforce in the school to actually employ a range of other adults besides teachers to help in the work of young people? How we deal with social justice and social diversity, which I know is an issue, Anna, for your foundation. And how we can actually ensure that all students progress, not just the ones who are from the more privileged parts of society. So that's the particular context that directors in England are facing. But from that, I'd like to draw out six key trends, and within them, some tensions, which I think apply not just to England, but I think apply to Catalonia and more generally as well. So the first one is to do with school improvement. Because I believe that, the example of PISA occurring now in your schools this week is a good example of that. That globally, principals, directors will continue to be responsible for the standards of achievement inside their schools. And the tension there, I think, is on the one hand, the accountability drive from the national government, right, holding schools to account. You know, schools will be also held to account on the international scene as well for how well they do on PISA, right? And there's a tension there between how you develop the school and internal forms of assessment inside the school and how schools can actually work together to improve standards. So it seems to me there's a top-down and bottom-up tension here in terms of school standards, which will increasingly define the role of the school leader in future years. The second trend, again, I've talked about this a little bit, is about succession planning, about recruitment to become school leaders.